Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrist, distributed by Breadbox Media and recorded live every Monday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me again. I took a little break. You know, every once in a while, you have to kind of take a look at the things you're doing to see if they're what God wants you to do. That's kind of discernment, right? We're just looking at whether we're doing God's will in our life or Allison's will in our life. And after a little break, I really felt called back to the original way I did A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrist back when it was a radio show. I don't know if you knew, this began as a radio show on Real Life Radio. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the book aspect. I kind of marketed as a online book club, and we would meet 4 days a week, and then on Fridays I would have the authors. Well, life has changed quite a bit in the last 4 years since A Seeking Heart first made its debut on Real Life Radio. And I think one day a week I can do a book. We can talk about a book. And then I've decided to invite back the authors. I liked talking with them. I liked the give and take. One of the things that's changed is I've been invited to CatholicMom.com, the Catholic Mom Pod Momcast, which is their podcast. I've been filling in for Lisa Hendy for the last few months, and they're going to keep me on the rotation, which is quite an incredible honor. But one of the things I noticed as Danielle Bean and I met each week to record the show, record the podcast, was the give and take of speaking with Danielle. Yes, Cindy, I'm back. It was the give and take of speaking with Danielle and getting that other point of view, the other voice, and I really enjoyed it. So not only did I decide to bring back the authors' interviews, which will be every Thursday, but they're going to be all over the place on Thursdays because it's just much easier to work with authors and their schedule, many of them working other jobs besides being a Catholic author. So those would be all different times, and I'll try to announce them on Mondays when we do, or before that, when we talk about their actual book. But Danielle Bean will be here on Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll do the Facebook Live, and then it will become a Seeking Heart podcast distributed through our friends over at Breadbox Media. So that's pretty exciting stuff. I am thrilled to be back. I am thrilled we already have guests and books. Already booked all the way through the summer. So once I decided to go back and I reached out to my friends at Ave Maria Press and Tan Books and our Sunday Visitor, And I think there's some other ones in there too. Before I knew it, we were filled. So we have a guest just about every single week from now till September. So we'll reevaluate in September, I guess, unless I just keep booking them because there's so many amazing, wonderful books coming out. This is how I grew in my faith. I grew in my faith by focusing on Catholic books, on focusing on Catholic spiritual reading. And I really enjoy talking about books. I love sharing them with you. Oh, and by the way, we're also bringing back the weekly giveaway. So following the show, after it becomes a podcast, I'll be posting out on social media and on my website, reconciledtoyou.com. A raffle copter that you can join in to the giveaway. It will always include the book we're talking about. And every once in a while, Allison will clean a shelf in her huge stack. I guess it's not even a shelf. There's some here, but hidden behind this beautiful card that I got. There's some books everywhere in my house. I'm very, very blessed that our Pauline Books and Media, there's another one I found, Ignatius. They all are just bless me with their books to read and to review and to share. And so I will be blessing those forward. So that's what's happening with the Seeking Heart. We're back. We're back with books. We will be talking with authors. I've got Danielle Bean, Maria Johnson, Marge Finnellan. Who else do I have coming on? Goodness. Well, I guess you'll just have to be surprised since my brain just went blank. But that's not a bad start. It's Dawn. Yes, Dawn Eden. There we go. Dawn Eden, who's just really fun, amazing. I'm trying to get Katie Warner back. I don't know if you were here for her interview, but she was so much fun. So we're going to, and I've got a long list of people to reach out to. So yay, books and people, wonderful Catholic authors. One of the things that I struggle with very much in my life, I'm going to be very honest with you, something is envy. I really, really struggle with envy and jealousy. It's so bad. And then I go to confession and I bring these things to the priest and I say, I am jealous and envious of other women in Catholic ministry. And I think there has to be a special place in hell for women who are jealous of other women getting opportunities to share how awesome God is. Loser. That's not okay, Allison. So not okay. But one of the ways to work on overcoming your vice is by working on the virtue that is opposite of it, that builds up against it. I guess is another way of saying it. So many years ago when I realized I had this wonderful vice of envy, I was like, all right, well, how do I overcome it? And one of the ways is through admiration. And so I look at a seeking heart and sharing a seeking heart with you, with the books with you through a Seeking Heart podcast over on Breadbox Media, is that this is a way of me working on my own virtue of admiration, as well as blessing forward the hard work of these women and their publishers. I'm sure I'll have some guys on too. Maybe. You know, we are a women's ministry, so we'll see. But there are some good men books out there too. One of them I was looking at and actually wanted to reach out to was Unworried by Dr. Popcak. So see, I have to learn his name. Just like when I had poor Gary Zemek on, and I couldn't say his name right. Just struggle. And I've had somebody say it to me, like, I can't even tell you how many times. Anyway, we'll worry about that when he comes on. First, let's get through A Manual for Women by Tan Books. And the essay that starts it, kicks it off, is Danielle Bean, who will be here Thursday, May 2nd. Pretty sure that's the date of Thursday this week. But before we go any further, little commercial here. Have you read the Stay Connected journals yet? Have you started with The Gift of Invitation by, you know, yours truly? Very excited to announce that Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, who also happens to be my employer. I have a new job since we took a little break from a Seeking Heart. I now am a wine steward. How cute is that? Over on Through Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, CatholicVineyard.com. And I have been in charge of the virtual vineyard for a couple of years now. And now I just am so blessed that I get to put all my energy and time between Reconcile to You and wine, which are a perfect pairing. See what I did there? Perfect pairing. I'm learning an awful lot about wine. as I get to do this beautiful, I'm just so blessed to do this job, quite honestly. And we just finished our Lenten book club, which was Walk in Our Sandals. And we'll start this summer with The Catechism of Hockey, which is by Alyssa Borbis. In fact, if you're a longtime follower of A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras, oh, that just reminded me, I should pull up that. So Alyssa was one of my first guests ever back in 2015. Oh, yeah. Was Alyssa, and we talked about the Catechism of Hockey, and that's going to be the summer book club. I paused because I just thought we've been trying to figure out ways of sharing how amazing a catechism, the Catechism of Hockey is. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like hockey. I'm not really into hockey. I'm like, no, it's not about hockey. It's about the Catholic faith. And perhaps I should share that original podcast. Anyway. I digress. What a shock. Allison's digressing. But the gift of invitation, seven ways Jesus invites you into a life of grace, will become the Spring Wine Book Club, which is very exciting. Elizabeth, you're so awesome. She said her afternoon is better already. Well, I'm so glad that I could bring some joy and the joy of Christ into your life. So the gift of invitation is seven ways Jesus invites you to a life of grace. Seven chapters, super easy read, includes scriptures and all the different ways that Jesus invites you into a life with him. Just a real quick, and then we'll move on to today's book. But I just wanted to just share with you the seven ways to come and see, to take his yoke, to know the gifts of God, to ask in his name, pray, 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 my sisters, pray. God hears and answers. Forgive from your heart, believe in him, and go and make disciples. This is the Wine Book Club. You can only get it right now, actually, through CatholicVineyard.com. I'll put the link here later, CatholicVineyard.com, because other exciting news, our Sunday visitor has purchased Grace Watch Media, which means my new publisher is our Sunday visitor, which is very exciting. So they're on hold while they go from being under the Grace Watch Media name to our Sunday visitor name. So keep your eye out for that. But luckily, the Holy Spirit and his amazing insights had inspired Kelly and I to pick a seeking heart. No, that's the show, Allison. To pick the gift of invitation as the Wine Book Club. So we have copies of it. So if you're looking for some, again, I will put the link to Catholic Vineyard and where you can find it exactly right here. And in the show notes over on Facebook, but also these will be posting. That's one of my to-do lists, is to get the podcast posted on my website, Reconcile to You, and to make sure there's no snow notes. That's funny. Show notes over on Breadbox Media. And Podbean. That's where we put them, Podbean. So anyway, if you ever hear me say, hey, you'll find this, and then you go look and it ain't there, don't hate me. Don't leave. Just email me, reconciledtoyou@gmail.com, or send me a message here at Facebook or Instagram at reconciledtoyou. Please, 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 just call me on the carpet and help me be a better steward. See what I did there too? Yeah, I'm on it today. Woo-hoo. A better steward of all the wonderful things that the Lord gives me to share with you. So we are going to be sharing now. So we finished talking about the gift of invitation, CatholicVineyard.com, starts mid-May. Don't miss that online virtual book club. Gonna be a fun one. With today's book, this week's book, Manual for Women. Now, I may at some point spell this with an E in Manuel instead of an A. And why is that? Because I'm a Portuguese woman and half of my relatives are named Manuel. But we used to call my son Adam. We used to call him Manny. Manuel is a very popular Portuguese name. I am very Portuguese. So a couple of times I've had to catch myself as I'm typing Manuel for women. I had to catch myself not to spell it with an E. Hi, Janet. Thanks for joining us today. We are going to be talking about Manual for Women. So let me just tell you a little, I'm just going to read. It came packaged. First of all, I know that if you're listening on the podcast, I'm going to have to paint a picture for you. But if not, if you get a chance, please go to tanbooks.com and take a look at this beauty. It is a like faux leather cover, which Facebook is not doing any justice to the pretty, it's showing it a different color blue, but it is like a greenish blue. It's beautiful. It's so pretty. And it comes packaged so delightfully. I'm all about packaging. So it comes with this adorable little cover on the top of it. This is Manual for Women. And look at that little design that reminds me of a butterfly. Gee, I wonder why. And then and it comes like wrapped in cellophane. It just feels so special. And it's a great size for your purse, for your pocket. No, it's a pocket this big. It's kind of a big pocket. Oh my gosh. It's good for your, hi Julie. It's good for your pocketbook or your glove compartment or a drawer. A drawer was the word I was going for. It's good for your back pocket if you drive with really, really big, you know, painter's pants. But not if you wear normal pants. Yeah, that won't help you. So let me give you a little insight of what this book is about. And then we're going to dive into the first half of the book, which is Danielle Bean's essay. And we're going to talk about not just what she has to say, but this is when I want the conversation to happen. One of the things that books should do is open up a conversation. It shouldn't just be a dialogue, a monologue between you and the author, just you listening to what the author has to say. You should always open up a dialogue, even if it's only with yourself and with God. But it should open up some conversation when you read good spiritual reading, which this is. Manual for Women is for women to seek to who seek to grow closer to Christ and His Blessed Mother, for women who seek to discover or rediscover what it means to be a woman after God's own heart. In part one, Danielle Bean encourages women to embrace and cultivate their distinctive womanly gifts, such as receptivity, sensitivity, compassion, beauty, and generosity. Bean reminds readers that they will embrace these unique gifts most perfectly if they do so in imitation, that's the right word, right? Imitation? Yes. When we copy the most immaculate of women, Mary of Nazareth. Bean concludes with practical advice, which every woman, whatever her state in life, will benefit from. In part two, readers will be nourished by the depth and richness of Catholic tradition's teachings on what it means to be a woman, with a treasure trove, I love that word, with a treasure trove of church documents. I almost said chocolate documents. I can't even eat chocolate, but clearly I'm in the mood for some. For church documents, wisdom of the saints, relevant passages from scripture, prayers, and hymns, Manual for Women from Tan Books, tanbooks.com, will inspire and delight women of all ages and vocations. A Manual for Women is a powerful reminder that authentic femininity and, yes, authentic feminism springs from an embrace rather than spurring of the great and unique gifts God has bestowed on women. Sounds good, all right? Sounds good already, right? English and I, we don't always see eye to eye. No, we don't. I love that in the inside cover of the book is a place where you want to give it as a gift, you could write presented to, put their name, what date, give them a little personal note, really personalize it. Mother's Day is just around the corner. I think this would make a beautiful Mother's Day gift. I wouldn't mind if I gotten it as a Mother's Day gift, quite honestly. Nope, not at all. I would be pretty happy with this, actually. So the thing about knowing Danielle Bean, and now I have been very blessed. Danielle is a New Englander like myself, and she's a homeschool mom like myself. And so we actually met many, many years ago at a homeschool conference here in New England. New England's homeschool conference used to be phenomenal. And I'll leave it at that. It was run by, you know, local Facebook moms. Oh my goodness, Allison. Homeschool moms who just walked the walk and knew what they were talking about. And I absolutely adored them and what they were doing. And it was just really well done. And this is where I met Danielle, and kind of, she's just a very magnetic person. You just feel drawn to her. We ended up many years later, we were both speakers at it, and they put our tables next to each other, and I really got to know her well. And we just stayed in touch, and then she became the brand manager for CatholicMom.com. And as I said, now I've been doing the MomCast with her over on CatholicMom.com, and that has been a blessing. But having knowing her and speaking with her, it's really cool to read her words, because this is exactly how Danielle speaks. This is how she shares her faith in such a beautiful, encouraging way. She is a very authentic. She has a very authentic femininity, where she's a very authentic person, and her faith is very authentic. Just real. She's real. She's real stuff. She really is the real stuff. So here on page three, she gets started on this, the essay that kind of opens Manual for Women. I really liked this. Life is a messy thing. Sometimes in the midst of pain and sacrifice, all we want is some tangible assurance that our efforts will be rewarded. As we struggle through piles of bills and car repairs, rebellious teenagers and cranky bosses, and all manner of foul weather, you can tell she's a New Englander, and human weakness, we would just like a little dose of heavenly perfection now and then. Is that too much to ask? Oh my gosh, Danielle, that is so astute. I remember when I first came back to the Catholic faith and I started to go into Mass every week and reading my scriptures and praying the rosary more often and doing Bible study. I felt like as I ticked off every box of the Catholic to-do, that this should somehow equate with God giving me more favor. Like, so bad things will stop happening, illness, death, financial problems, marital problems, like family issues, all of that I thought was going to be erased because I said yes to God and started to spend all this time talking about him and praying to him and living my life according to his precepts, and that somehow that was going to equal to a life of roses. Yeah, that's not at all what God offers or provides or promises. That's not how this works. The true heavenly reward, of course, is the true reward of following Christ is heaven. That's what I meant to say. But it doesn't mean that we're going to live in misery here or total misery here. God still has many, many gifts for us. Going on, she talks about what are we made for, ultimately seeking to know who we are and what we are made for as women brings us back to the Garden of Eden. To know God's plan for human beings, and in particular God's plan for us as women, we must look to Eve, the first woman, and find out what we can learn from her story. Now, if you haven't yet read Genesis 2 at all, where God brings people into the plan, into creation, please do. It's very good. It's good reading. You know, it's a good book and all that Bible thing. But one of the things about Eve is that we see that she falls in a pretty big way. Like, she had it made. And actually, Danielle writes that in here. Let me see if I remember to mark the page. Because, like, she had it made. She had, let's just recap this for a second. She had no laundry because she was naked. And nobody cared that she was naked because it just wasn't a thing. just didn't notice these things. So we didn't have laundry. We had perfect bodies. And even if we didn't, nobody cared because everything was perfect. It was Eden. She didn't have to cook. She had food, yummy food. She didn't have to cook. She had a husband that doted on her. No pain from child labor, like from childbirth. The woman had it made. It was good. God made it, and it was good. And yet, she still felt she didn't know who she was in this, you know, in her human condition. She was weak, and she was able to fall for the lies of the devil. I don't know about you, but I fall for the lies of the devil all the time. He's a big fat liar, and I let him have way too much real estate. What did I say yesterday in a confession? I said to Father Wilson, I am the devil's playground. Like, I just let him have way too much real estate in my brain and in my mind, and in my actions. And he said, "Ooh, we all are," which I really, this is my new pastor too. I don't know if since the last A Seeking Heart, I've had the chance to talk about Father Wilson, who has replaced Father Kevin. Just adore him. He's very kind. He's the same age as me, but he thought he was much older, which is maybe why I like him even better than than anyone else ever. Because he thought I was young. I like that. He's just very humble, kind of a goober. I'm kind of a goober. It's kind of why I like him. Anyway, I'm really finding him a great blessing to our parish. It was a tough transition. We went priestless for a while. And, you know, that also brings me back to the book, a manual for, I keep adding the and a, and it's neither one of them is there. It's just called Manual for Women. One of the things that, bringing it back to Eve and discerning what we are created for, I think for me, when I don't have a good shepherd, when I'm not being really led, I can also really run amok. And not know what God has created me for. What does God want for me? To discern, like, what am I supposed to be doing? Where does God want me now? That sometimes can become a roadblock when I don't have a good shepherd who's feeding me spiritually, but also, you know, there if I need to talk or confession. I also lost my darling in January. I lost my darling, a spiritual director. That's Deacon Jerry Ryan, sweetest man on the planet. And not that he hasn't, I think he's been helping. I think he's been interceding pretty bigly. But, you know, not having that direction, sometimes it's hard for me to figure out what God's calling me to do. What's my role? Like, what's my role in life? So, you know, as a woman, being able to look at Mary, which is, you know, what Danielle includes in this book, Manual for Women, is Mary as our model. And I have been actually working on a new book. We have one coming out, another Stay Connected journal coming out. And then after that, I'm working on a Mary book. Wicked excited. Anyway, just realizing that Mary is this incredible model, which I had discounted for most of my life. I had demonized her. I made her divine. I made her a god. I made her a deity. I thought, like, she had it made and things were easy for her because she was the mother of God. Yeah, she was a woman just like you and I. And she absolutely had temptation. She just didn't fall for it because she was filled with the grace from Jesus. So Jesus is her savior, by the way, and I'm not going to go into preemptive grace right now, but just trust me to say that she needed saving, that Jesus did it, and that she lived her life so close to her faith, she was filled with grace, grace the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us. And because she could live so close to God, because she lived a life of prayer and of knowing her sacraments and of being close to him, she didn't fall for the lies of the devil, which I truly need to do less of. Not just because it's not good for my soul. It's just not good for me. It's not an abundant life to live in that place of sin and worry and sorrow and fear and doubt. Those are all no good places to live. You don't want to live there. You want to live in the place that God gave you, the hope of joy, of peace. Those are the places we want to live. And that's where Mary is such a great model for us. And in this book, Manual for Women, we look at our feminine gifts, and we're given these amazing gifts by God to live fully the woman we are created to be. And those living those gifts helps us to stay close to God. It helps us to discern what we're supposed to be doing, our vocations, our calls. Sorry, just got a notification that I have to pick up my kid. I got to figure out how to turn off notifications. You know, such a techie fail. So some of the gifts that Danielle talks about in here that I'm not going to get too far into is the gift of receptivity, which I'm going to just skip over and go to sensitivity. But first, I'm going to read a comment from we're getting from Elizabeth, who is listening live on Facebook. You can do that as well every Monday, 12:30 p.m. on Reconcile to You. Elizabeth said, oh my gosh, that is so true. It is so easy for me to feel out of sorts, confused, or misdirected if I don't stay focused on my faith in different ways, and the different ways it's available. Bible study, reading scripture, mass, adoration, etc. And I love that you put this list of all the different ways, Elizabeth, that we can connect to our faith and to each other, which of course is ultimately leads us connected to God through all the different ways our faith offers us these, these gifts of grace. I mean, me, my Bible babes, which Elizabeth happens to be one of. I love my life, my life with Bible study in it, with my small group, that faith sharing that we do every single week, the accountability that brings into my life. And I can't imagine my life without those women, the prayer support specifically that, social media has allowed for us to do, having our Facebook message that we can continually offer prayers for each other. You know, my next journal is due. In fact, it was due May 1st. And I was a little bit of a panic. I'm like, I'm working on it, gonna get it done. And then I asked them all to pray for me. And then this weekend was miraculous, getting so much writing done. And then this morning was even more miraculous when they moved my deadline to June 1st. I could hear the choir of angels singing, yay! Of course, I'm going to continue to work on it, not going to just put it aside and go, phew, I have another month to procrastinate. But you know, having that prayer support, having the faith that gives us the scriptures and mass and adoration, the sacraments, such a gift. Thank you, Elizabeth, for reminding us really specifically what those things are that God gives us. Another gift that we have is our gift of sensitivity. Now, Danielle starts this chapter by talking about how her family and her had just watched a movie. When the lights come on, everybody looks at her and laughs because, of course, she's a puppy-eyed and she's been crying. She's like, I learned long ago that I am a crier. I accept it. There comes a point in pretty much any movie where there's a particular poignant scene, a gesture of love, a moment of beauty and joy, and the tears just start flowing. It's okay, that's what Kleenex are for. I used to be embarrassed by my ability to spill tears at a moment's notice while watching a movie, a Subaru commercial, while reading novels or my son's book report, while witnessing a tender moment between my children or a word of encouragement from a father to a son. But I've come to accept my tears as an outward sign of a feminine gift of sensitivity, one that every woman has that is expressed in each of us differently. For many years, I didn't cry. It was actually like a joke, which isn't really funny, but I'd be like, I'm not a crier. Like, I'm not a hugger. I'm not a sensitive person at all. At least I wasn't until I started to know God more. Started to read the scriptures, started to let my defenses and my guard down. I used to think that it was a sign of my strength that I never cried. Now it wants to restart my computer. Don't do that. Okay. I used to think it was a sign of weakness that I would cry or get emotional or be sensitive about stuff. And I mean emotional in the positive sense. like that when I see something sad or tender or sweet, it should evoke some emotion in me. When I encounter people I care about, I should feel this desire to hug them or to be with them. Of course, with my hand eczema, the idea to touch anybody nowadays isn't exactly on my to-do list, but it's all good. But I should feel these things. But for many years, I had a huge wall up, a huge defense because of just certain things in my life, in my circumstances, and I just didn't feel connected. And then I wanted to be strong and brave, and it felt like that's what I was called to do. Don't cry, don't show emotion, because that somehow is a stronger person. Yeah, not so much. I love that it's a gift that God gives me, that it helps me to be who I am as a woman, sensitive and caring. And nobody was more so than our Blessed Mother. And then Daniel writes, despite Jesus's protest that his hour has not yet come, Mary persists at the wedding of Cana, asking for his help. She is sensitive to the needs of those who are around her. And like, that's another thing that we're given this gift for, is that we can see what our family needs, world needs. We are motivated by what we see around us, and that need. They had no wine, and that would have been a great embarrassment to that family. So she turns to the person she knows can help, which we can all do as well. Turn to the person, Jesus, that we know it can help in any situation. And we may feel the inspiration or be given the opportunity, the skills, the whatever we need to provide in that need. Like Jesus turning the water into wine, and then they were able to take that wine and fulfill the need. But sometimes all we can do is pray. And I hesitate to say all we can do, because I feel like that's some kind of excuse sometimes we make and feel badly that we can't do anything but pray. Prayer, as my friend Michael once said, is the most you can do. Not the least you can do, but the most you can do for another person is to pray for them, is to turn to God and ask for his help. That is a great thing. And to have the heart to do so, to feel moved when you see people in need, is a beautiful gift, and we should not be embarrassed by it at all. And that also brings to that feminine gift of compassion, being moved when you see somebody in need and wanting to help them, being moved by their circumstances and wanting to help them feel love again, compassion, love. Mary is the model of compassionate love, of caring for others and whoever that is in your life, your children, your spouse, your siblings, your friends, even though you don't, people you don't even know, to be moved to that compassion. Such a beautiful virtue. One, I have to say, is on my lack list. I'm not often moved to compassion in my life. And that comes, again, from having walls up, from being hurt so much as a kid and kind of living in a very unstable situation. You put walls up. But when you turn to God, the closer you get to him, the more time you spend with God, the more that he fills your heart, that's when you can let those walls down, because you know that maybe people in this world will hurt you, but God never will. And you don't want to have a hardened heart, because you want him to have access to that heart, knowing that if you're hurt in this world, God will use it for good, and it's way better to be open to be hurt than to be so closed that you never allow God in. You need to let God in into that beautiful heart of yours. Then we're also given the feminine gift of beauty, Danielle goes on to say. And one of the beautiful things that our Blessed Mother has is this pondering heart. I absolutely love the idea of a pondering heart. And I've been reading a lot of Dr. Edward Shree, S-R-I, preparing for my Mary book. And one of the things that I read that really kind of was like mind blown was that the pondering, Mary's pondering heart, wasn't just the looking at a situation and going, oh, that was such a nice thing that happened. No, her pondering heart actually is this beautiful gift that she has to look at a situation and to turn to God in it, to be able to discern as she mulls along the circumstances of a situation and knowing what God is calling her to do next. So that is the gift, the beauty of a pondering heart, is to take it to prayer, bring it to God, mull over all of the different scenarios, all of the different aspects of whatever's just happened, looking at it with hindsight and foresight and all those beautiful things, and then asking the Lord, what do you want me to do now with this information? What is my call to action? Am I called to pray more in a different way, in a more fervent way? Am I called to actually act in some way? Do you want me to reach out to that person? Do you want me to bring that person something? Do you, do you want me to start something at my parish? What is it I'm being called to in my community? Whatever the circumstance, it doesn't have to always be a specifically religious circumstance, because God created you and he wants to be part of your everyday, ordinary life. He wants to be part of everything, your comings, your goings, your work, your school, your family, all of it. And then that's what her pondering heart shows us, is that we don't just allow circumstances to continue to happen to us, but we take quiet, we take time, we go to God in those quiet moments and bring it to him, discern it. I personally love adoration. I love going to Eucharistic adoration. I'm blessed that my church offers it every day. And you don't have to just wait for the church to have Jesus out in the monstrance, the Eucharist out in the monstrance. You can go anytime the church doors are open, but you can also do this in your own home. You can find a nice quiet time. When my kids were little, that was the bathroom. Not going to lie. I remember being in there thinking, Lord, you're okay with me praying in here, right? And sometimes, you know, reading my spiritual reading, you know, there. It's like, this is the only time I'm going to get quiet. This is the only time I'm going to get a few minutes to myself. You're okay with that, right, God? He seems to have been, because he blessed it. He certainly blessed it. So that's another gift that Danielle talks about. Again, her book is Manual for Women, Tan Books, tanbooks.com, if you want to get a copy of it. Of course, always look at your local Catholic bookstores first and foremost. Please, please patronize your Catholic bookstores if there's one nearby and if there's any way possible. If they don't have the book, they can get it for you. We need to support our small businesses, especially Catholic bookstores, because they're more than just a place to get a book. They're a place sometimes people come to find Jesus. So definitely support your Catholic bookstore if you can. If not, go to the publisher, tanbooks.com, and of course, there's always Amazon. So moving on, the feminine gift of generosity. So we have so Danielle talks about one of the ways that Mary is an example of this gift of generosity. Is we see this in her Magnificat. That's Luke 1, 46 through 47. If you haven't yet read Luke 1, really recommend it. Kind of always recommend the Bible, honestly. It's the best spiritual reading that we have. And here we have the Magnificat, Magnificat, which is based on Rachel's prayer. I want to say Rachel. I hopefully have that right from the Old Testament. She talks about her soul magnifies the Lord and her spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And Danielle writes, it is a generous outpouring of her soul out of love and of God and gratitude for his many blessings. One of the things that I learned many years ago is that nothing derails a bad mood like praising God. And you can praise God in many different ways. And Mary's Magnificat is a song of praise. This is a prayer of praise, and we can do it by reading the Psalms. We can read the Magnificat ourselves. We can read it out loud. Well, one of my favorite ways to praise is to turn on Christian music, to be honest, and just raise the roof. Like if I'm alone, especially, if only, let's be honest, only when I'm alone will I turn it up loud and dance and like really just let myself like King David in front of the ark, but with clothes on. I don't know if you know the story, but David danced before the ark in great joy and jubilation, but pretty much down in his skivvies and really horrified his wife. Well, that's another story. So I praise and worship the Lord, but I don't do it in my skivvies. I'll leave my clothes on. You're welcome. Seems the wise thing to do. Hi, Mary Ellen. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You're listening to A Seeking Heart, and we're talking today about Manual for Women, and this is recorded live every Monday, 12:30 p.m. on Reconcile to You on Facebook. After Danielle Bean, the author of Manual for Women, after she gives this great essay, and she shares all this insights to Mary and our feminine gifts, then she gives you some practical advice, and I'm all about the practical advice. The everyday ordinary of living my life living my life in light of Christ. And she starts by talking about personal prayer. Now, I'm going to just skip forward for a second as we talk about personal prayer, because that's really the beauty of the Manual for Women from Tan Books, is that the second part of this book, not written by Danielle, but offered from Tan Books, is the Wisdom and Prayers for Women. So if you're somebody who knows that practically speaking, I need to spend more time in prayer because that will help me in all aspects of my life, but you're like, I don't know where to begin with that prayer life, beautiful little manual. This is where the manual part comes in, Wisdom and Prayers for Women. We have Wisdom of the Church, where we have from the Catechism, the Domestic Church, which is our homes, our own little churches that we're called to live a life. I'll just read it right here. Christ chose to be born and grow up in the bosom of the Holy Family of Joseph and Mary. The church is nothing other than the family of God. From the beginning, the core of the church was often constituted by those who had become believers together with their whole household. So your household is a little domestic church. Isn't that sweet? Then we have the papal teachings on the dignity of women, which is, if you haven't read any of these, Pope Benedict, John Paul II, highly recommend them. They're not all of them in here. They're just snippets of them, but enough to just give you an idea of really how the church feels about women. Spoiler alert, they like us. They're kind of fond of us. Then you have Scriptures for Women, which, anytime I can spend some time with Scripture, I'm in. Sign me up. And there's the Ode to a Capable Wife, also known as Psalm 31. Really fun to read Psalm 31 in light of your own life. I'm really not a Psalm 31 woman on the outskirts. Like, I'm not a cooking, cleaning, caring kind of person. Yeah, I'm kind of a hot mess. I love my family. I do buy them groceries, though I do Peapod and I have them delivered. And I make meals that are like the most simple meals one person can make. But I am a Proverbs 31 woman, where I use my wisdom and my wisdom to follow God. And I use that wisdom to pray for my family and to discern God's will for them as much as I'm able to do. Like, it's still their own journey. So you have to remember that when this was written, Old Testament time, but yet there's always the reason that the Scriptures are so good is that they're timeless. There's always something in there that we can, if we don't look so literal at the words and we go to it in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, we always find a nugget of wisdom in there. Then we meet Mary and Martha. Martha, I know that's not how you say it, but that's how I say it. The Samaritan women, there are so many amazing women in the Bible, strong, powerful in their faith, faithful women, courageous women. We see Ruth and her daughter-in-law, Naomi, great story. Naomi? No. Yes. Naomi meets, what is his name? Boaz. Naomi meets Boaz, and Boaz is like a type of Jesus, the topography of Jesus. He's a kinsman redeemer. So she is widowed, and so she can only be redeemed back to wholeness by being married through one of her husband's kinsmen. And so we look at being redeemed by Christ, and only through Christ could we be, our brother, could we be redeemed. And so we're not married to him, clearly, but the whole idea of being redeemed by our kinsmen. I love that. Good stuff. So then there's verses for receptivity, sensitivity, compassion, beauty, and generosity. Just lots and lots, like pages and pages of scripture. If you're somebody who's not yet opened up the scriptures and, again, don't know where to begin, things like the manuals that Tan Books puts out, and they have many. This is just one of the many that they have. I love the one by Dr. Thigpen on spiritual warfare. One of my favorites. Of course, I don't know where I have it right now, somewhere. So good. I use it constantly. No, actually, I think it's over in my prayer corner. I have a drawer next to my prayer corner. Pretty sure it's in there. And it is well worn because of the scriptures that are given to encourage and enlighten us. Good stuff. Then we get into the saints. Love our saint posse. Who's in your saint posse these days? Mine changes based on my needs, though pretty much it stayed the same since we last spoke. Still got Venerable Patrick Payton in it, Blessed Solanus Casey, Blessed Stanley Rother, and then I have Sister Faustina. I'm going to be talking about a Sister Faustina book as we go forward. I've been blessed to be part of a contributor to that, and we'll be getting into that later on because that comes out in October. Saint Therese, because she wants to be. It's all her fault. Like, I told her I wouldn't want Saint Therese in my saint posse because she's too busy and everyone else wants her attention. So I didn't want Saint Therese in my posse, and yet she forced herself in there. She's very helpful. She sends me purple roses. Love that, because I'm a brat. I don't just ask for roses. I ask for very specific roses. And Our Lady of Guadalupe. And St. Gemma Galgani, because of faith and her scoliosis and the amazing miracle that we received. And we're at the end of our time, so I'm not going to go into the St. Gemma miracle for faith, but I'm writing it down. I will share it in the show notes, and I also talk about it in the next show. It's pretty remarkable that St. Gemma, there's a saint for everything. Let's just say that. This is a saint for everything. So we look at the lives of saints, these that are particular to the gifts that we talk about here. I also love books that come with a sweet little ribbon that you can keep your place with. Very nice stuff. And after the saints, what else do we have? We have prayers, lots of different prayers. Prayer for a wife, prayer for your family. We have novenas. We have novenas to St. Anne, the mother of Mary. I grew up in St. Anne's Parish, so that I enjoy. Oh, there's a prayer here to Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is where I'm going to put my ribbon to read in my Bible, in my prayer time today. I started the consecration, the total consecration to Jesus through Mary. I am using the Hugh Gillespie Montfort Publications. Not using 33 days this time, but I highly recommend any of that. If you want to join our consecration, you can do so on Reconcile to You on Facebook. I'm posting it there. Paulo, thanks for joining us today. Servant of God, Chiara Corbella Petrillo. Ooh. Gee, what a shock, Paula. You picked an Italian saint. That's I'm going to have to Google her, learn more about her. Sounds like a good one. And obviously, the grace of God just came upon me because I think I said that almost right. So thrilled. Honestly, so thrilled to have a seeking heart back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this. It's a great way of evangelizing, is to share what you find on social media. not just from me. Whatever you see out there that's encouraging to you, it will be encouraging to others as well. And it's a very simple way for us to share our faith in a very non-threatening, safe way. If you're looking for a way to use your gifts of sensitivity, of generosity, of compassion, of beauty, then one of the ways is to become an evangelizer of the faith, to see where there's needs. And, you know, to share the faith and to is to do so, I think, the best, most effective way is just to share what God has done in your life, just to share the authentic witness about being an authentic woman. Sometimes it's just about sharing the authentic witness of God in your life. What has God done? Why do you choose to follow him? What keeps you faithful? What keeps you connected to God? What is it that he's doing that's so amazing that you call yourself Christian? When we share those things, that's what changes people's hearts. That's what makes people stop and pause and think. And especially when they see you with joy in your heart, even in the most difficult circumstances. I'm not saying that you have a tragedy and you go around laughing and smiling and being happy. But when you don't lose hope, that's true joy. True joy is nothing to do with happiness. It has to do with hope. Joy comes from staying connected to God and feeling that hope of heaven, that regardless of your circumstances, you know, he is still God, he is still good, and he is always with you. My favorite scripture is, God does not abandon nor forsake us. We have been talking today about Manual for Women. The foreword, the opening essay is by Danielle Bean. Danielle will be here on A Seeking Heart on Thursday. We will be recording 10 a.m. live on Facebook, Reconcile to You. I hope you can join us. If not, you can get the podcast on podbean.com, Breadbox Media, of course, breadboxmedia.com. That's the wonderful organization that has been just so supportive of Catholic podcasts, and they have been sharing them. We're up to, I think, 80 podcasts. It's been incredible to watch Breadbox Media grow. You can always find the podcast over at Breadbox Media, or of course, my website, A Seeking Heart. No, that is not my website, Allison. Wake up. Reconciled to You. Let's get that right. Reconciled to You. And Manual for Women, tanbooks.com. Can't wait to talk to Danielle on Thursday. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you so much for every gift that you give us, every gift of femininity that helps us to know the world around us in such a beautiful way, in the way you have created us to do so, to be sensitive and generous and compassionate and beautiful. Lord, we are created in your image and your likeness. Therefore, we are created in pure beauty, pure hope, pure joy. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless us in our quest for heaven and to be a real voice of authentic evangelization in the world. We ask all this through your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.